Welcome to Hot Off the Press, a podcast that provides knowledge and emotional support for new and aspiring printers. I'm Jillian of Studio Soprano.
And I'm Mariah of Mariah Creates, and we are two letterpress printers who believe in sharing our knowledge and learning together.
We're here to help bridge the gap between antique printing methods and modern design.
So hang up your apron,
put down those palette knives,
and let's get into what's hot off the press.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Hot Off the Press. I am Jillian of Studio Soprano, and I am here with the brilliant, the remarkable, the published Mariah of Mariah Creates.
Aw, that's so cute. I didn't read through this episode before, so that was actually a surprise. This is really fun.
How are you feeling on this fine-ass published morning?
Oh, man. So Cara Jo, Jillian, and I have a little text group, and it's always a really fun place. But today it was like Cara Jo asked me, like, how does it feel to be published? And I was like, honestly, the craziest thing this year has brought me is, like, you know, at the end of the year, if you listen to the podcast, you probably listen to our episode on this, but we set some really big, scary goals for ourselves. And to be checking some of those off is like the wildest feeling. Like, some of them were things that, like, I knew would eventually come, but I wanted to, like, you know, have something to look forward to and kind of a goal to set. Some of them were things that I was like, well, fuck it, just in case, like, you know, I get the chance to do X, Y, Z, I'm going to put it on my list. And yeah, this just was a styled shoot that I did. And the photographer and florist, you know, who set it up were really incredible to work with. And, you know, I got to create something just kind of for fun, which at that point I really, like, needed. So it was a great creative outlet, and it turned out to be a completely worthwhile opportunity. So here's your example of a styled shoot being completely 100% worth it. It was published in Green Wedding Shoes, and it turned out great.
Yay. Yeah. I was actually just talking to another photographer about how when the vendors that are a part of the styled shoot are all really well committed to making it a total success.
Yeah.
It could come out really phenomenal. But I do just want to point out that I did look at our goal file, because that always lets me know whenever you've updated it. And you are already halfway through. You are halfway through your goals, and we are halfway through the year.
I know. It's kind of crazy. Like, we're literally at the halfway point. And so it's kind of wild. But yeah, I really have been making an effort. And I know that one of them is also really close too.
Yay. Well, not to kill all the good vibes, but today we're going to talk about something that can usually leave us feeling a little defeated or at least some kind of icky. And that's delivering bad news to a client. Like, it's never fun. We've all been there, though, whether it's an out-of-stock item or finding out that there was an error somewhere in production. Having to deliver the unsavory news to a client is like this delicate dance of, you know, being really compassionate, but also standing firm in your ground, because a lot of times clients will use this as an opportunity to sort of take advantage of the situation and try to get more than what's really owed to them, basically. So having been the recipients of bad news and also the birds bringing the word of some bad news, Mariah and I felt like it was really important to give you guys, the listeners, some of the things that we've learned about these situations and how to handle them as best as possible. And Mariah, can you even remember the last time that you've had to do this?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple different ways that bad news comes about, right? Whether it's your fault or completely something that was out of your control. And, you know, I think that how you handle that says a lot about you as a business owner and also just as a person. I think that, like, I mean, most recently, fortunately, it's been a little while, not long enough, but it's been a little while since I've had to give any bad news. But, you know, there's a lot of nuance to how you handle these things, and we'll get into some of that later. But just no matter what, just know that it fucking sucks. And yeah, it doesn't matter if it's your fault or if it's completely out of your control, but it sucks. It just sucks. And that's just how it's going to be. And there's no, like, positive way to spin it, but sometimes you just have to deal with the suckiness and get through it and try and remember that it is not, like, a reflection of you as a person. It doesn't, like, mean that you're not good at what you do. Hopefully you have, like I do, friends like Cara Jo and Jillian who can, you know, boost you back up, but, you know, or a partner, you know, in your life that can help kind of get you out of that funk when it does happen. But if not, we're always happy to be that person for you, and we will help hype you back up. But just remember that we all do it, and it happens to every single one of us, whether a company is huge or it's just one person. Something will always go wrong, and it's usually at the least convenient time.
Oh, so, yeah. Like up against friggin', you know, the final hour type thing.
Always.
I agree. And it also doesn't define you. I feel like when I've been in those moments, especially earlier on in my career as a stationer, anything that went wrong felt
catastrophic.
So huge, so yeah. Catastrophic, so life ending. And what's really funny is one of the reasons I left my last career is that everyone else made every small problem seem like a mountain. And I just couldn't freaking deal with that. I was just like, you guys are making this stressful. It's actually not life or death. It's not a big deal. The chairs are going to arrive. Shit's going to get installed. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Stop losing your crap. But then when it's your business and it's your client and like you are the only one they are working with, it does feel really big. So all of this to say that we have a lot of compassion for these sticky situations that you and I and everyone else, we will eventually find ourselves in. But the moral of the story is that it is not the end of the world. There is always a solution and it's going to be okay. And I'm probably going to say the words, it's going to be okay, like 50,000 times today.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just something we need to constantly hear, you know, and I think we can both, like you and I, thank our previous careers for having such good foundations for this part of our business, because there was a lot of that client communication that we would have to do. And even though we still feel the emotional burden of a mistake because we're human, we both have really good ways of transferring that knowledge to the person that it needs to get transferred to without bringing our baggage with us.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good skill to have. And I'm going to highlight some of the ways that we do that throughout this. And then, of course, you know, some other things, because there's so many things that could go wrong in stationery. Isn't that so funny? It's paper goods and there's so much that could go wrong.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like, I think, so I worked with wineries. I still work with wineries outside of being a paper person. But at the end of the day, like I always used to say, it's just wine. Like
it's just wine.
Same thing is true with paper. Like it's paper, it's invitations. It's obviously an important part of somebody's event or whatever, but like at the end of the day, people are still gonna, you know, eat food and go to sleep and get up in the morning. Like it's, you know, you're not a doctor, you're not a surgeon. These mistakes are, the grand scheme of life. They're not the end of the world. So,
and there's literally always a solution, and it's not necessarily going to be perfect or ideal for someone who has had this vision in their head. And it's a very personal vision to them, but there is always a solution. So we'll talk about that later too. But I was thinking that we would kind of break this episode up into the different kinds of bad news, because I do feel like that's usually what informs our response, especially when it comes to things that are totally out of our control and then things that were 100% our fault.
Perfect.
There's two very different ways to like handle that. But I think both of those have some really common themes. So I just want to go over a couple common themes whenever you're dealing with something difficult in your business. The first one is that whenever you're writing a reply or speaking on the phone with a client, you should make your best effort to just remain calm and in control. Like, take all of the emotion out of it. You are a total robot, a logistics person, a project manager. You are not a therapist. You are just there to deliver facts, to offer solutions. And that doesn't mean you can't be compassionate, like not have any sympathy for how much this sucks for that person. You can even say, you know, things like, I know this really isn't ideal and I know this is impacting your timeline, but ... here's what we could do. But you remaining calm is going to help your clients remain calm. So that's really important.
And I would also say, like, if you get an email or if you get a notice that something has happened, you may need to take a minute. It's like, you're like, it's okay to like go take a walk real quick and like work through all of that in your head before you sit down and type out the response. In fact, you may greatly benefit from taking a breather for a second. So,
yeah.
You know, I personally don't like to deal with a lot of stuff on the phone because I like to have a written record of things. So in this situation, you might consider that as well. Obviously, you can't necessarily avoid a phone call from a client, but like, you know, if you have a chance to sit down and write out your thoughts even before you get on that phone call, that'll help you kind of stay calm, stay focused, and kind of stick to the point. So, you know, take a breather and write things down if you can, even if you're going to get on a call, and then maybe come back to it in a few minutes. Like, go do something else, go throw the frisbee for your dog for a minute, like whatever you need to kind of get back into like a zen space, which can be really hard to do, but super helpful if you can.
Totally agree. The second thing here is avoid placing blame, which I'm actually going to tie into what you just said, which is sometimes it helps to like walk away, come back, write an email that has a blank two line, like no, don't put a sender in it, and then trash that email.
Don't accidentally send it.
It's very instinctive for us to want to place blame, even if it's not aggressive, but accidents happen. Inventory levels dry out. Shit constantly gets lost in the mail. People approve things. Even if they read them a million times, there's this crazy thing that our brain does where if it sees a familiar word and all the letters are there, but they're rearranged and they're not actually correct, our brain totally skips over that. So even if it's their own last name, they may not see an error, a misspelling, just because the way our brains work. So nobody needs to be made to feel like the piece of shit for being the one who dropped the ball. So when shit hits the fan, it actually doesn't matter who threw it. Like it really doesn't. All that matters
is a solution.
Yeah. Is to get to a solution. Like that's all that matters from here on out. And that's your job, is to find the solution, not to place any blame.
We should probably send that to some clients too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably not going to treat you this same way, but you as a business person are going to want to treat your clients with this respect if it's their fault specifically.
Exactly, which takes us to this next point, which is accept responsibility. So it is in a slight contradiction that if the error was truly yours, the best thing to do is just to accept the responsibility upfront, offer your solutions, whatever that's going to be. And it does suck that we are allowed to point fingers at ourselves, blaming, but not other people. But, and it's like a double standard, but that's honestly what you signed up for to be a business owner. Like, it is never a good business practice to point fingers at your other vendors, to point fingers at you, USPS. That doesn't mean that it wasn't their fault. You can still say, hey, the post office lost these things in the mail. Here is what we can do. Here's a solution. But you don't have to write a whole paragraph about how unreliable the post office is. So yeah, it's totally a double standard, but it's kind of like the workplace hazard that we take on. All right. My next one of the common themes is try to know how you would handle certain situations ahead of time. I know it's really hard to think of all of these things that can go wrong because sometimes you don't know what will go wrong until it happens. But if you could just think about your entire process and think about like, well, what if the printer used the wrong Pantone? Or what if, you know, I shipped the wrong box to the client? Like, just think of all these random ass things and how you would handle them ahead of time, because what's going to happen is in the moment, you are going to feel that emotion because you are a human and you're going to feel panicked and you're going to feel vulnerable to suggestions that your clients may be making. So if you know under what circumstances you would offer a refund, how much that refund would be, would you cover the full cost of a reprint? What would the circumstances be if there were errors on the proof that they signed off on, but they also were kind of errors that you made, like you didn't put a comma in between, you know, the day of the week and the month or something like that. You know what I mean? Like that kind of shit is sort of your responsibility, not necessarily theirs, but they signed off on it. So knowing ahead of time of how you would handle those things is going to help you if that situation unfortunately ever occurs.
For sure.
Mining Facebook is actually a really good way to start with this, because between all of us in our Facebook groups, we've all experienced some real shit.
So yeah.
If you just go through and you're like, okay, that's happening for this person, here's how I would handle it. Make a like Google Doc. And then God forbid, if that thing ever happened to you, you already know how you would handle it. And you don't have to critically think in a moment of emotion, which is hard for us to do.
And on that subject, I mean, obviously people are in these Facebook groups posting, you know, hey, I have this situation. How would you guys handle it? Do that too. If you don't have, you know, friends in the industry who you can talk to about this, or if you just want more opinions, you know, find a safe place to discuss this with other people who would understand. That could be your partner. It could be your lawyer. It could be a Facebook group of other stationers. It could be literally, you know, whatever you're comfortable with. But that's why those comments and those posts are out there. So, you know, if you feel the need to do that, then do that. I think that's great. It's a great resource to have.
So those are kind of the four themes that I think dealing with delivering bad news, remaining calm and control, avoid placing blame, accept responsibility, and just know how you would handle situations ahead of time. I think those themes are really helpful. But then there's two things that I think lead into delivering the bad news or protecting yourself from the effects of bad news. So one of them is, if you see something, say something. So like, I stand by the fact that everything that leaves my door is something I should be 100% proud of, and it is perfect as it can be. And if I notice a spelling error, like let's say I'm printing a job for another stationer and I notice a spelling error, or I notice that something got misprinted or anything like that, anything that makes the product less than what the person receiving it will expect, I say something ahead of time. Like, I don't wait until they get it. Like, I let them know as early as possible, like, hey, I'm about 20 prints through your job, and I just noticed that Wednesday is spelled incorrectly. Like, I'm assuming we'll want to order a new plate for this, right? Like, I don't run the full job and send it to them and then wait for them to come back to me for a reprint.
Yeah, because I mean, you're wasting not only time, but you're also wasting resources. Like that extra paper you might have to order now because it was duplexed, or if it was handmade, God forbid. Like, you're not only like saving time, but you're saving resources by just asking the question. Like,
yeah. And this goes for, you know, in like availability of stock situations too. Like, we all know that Key Color is going out of business. It is still my favorite frigging brand to use. I suggest Key Color colors to my clients all the time, still to this day. But I always let them know, by the way, this is the perfect shade for your project. Unfortunately, this supplier is no longer in business. However, there is still some product available. And I offer the option, like, do you want to put a small deposit down for me to secure these goods? Like, do you feel as good about the color as I feel about it? Mm-hmm. If so, we'll buy them like months ahead of time just so we have them. That falls into seeing something, saying something, just setting a clear expectation, because you could check stock today and then go to buy it tomorrow and it could be gone. So best to, like, you know,
preemptive strike. Yeah.
Preemptive strike. Exactly. And then the other thing to protect yourself, to tie all of these together, is have a good contract in place. File for your LLC, bring in a lawyer if it's needed, have business insurance, like whatever you need to do to protect yourself. It's probably a good idea, because you're running a business where there's a decent possibility that somebody might be dissatisfied. And the worst part is sometimes they could be dissatisfied unjustifiably. Like, yeah, it could not even be an actual error, but they could be dissatisfied. So do everything you can to protect yourself.
Yeah. What is it? Cammy and Elizabeth call it, cover your butt.
Yeah. Yeah. Cover your butt at every base.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into some specific examples. I know this is going to be kind of lengthy, but I do think it will like really help, because each scenario is like a little bit different. And I'm going to start with the one that's the easiest to deal with. Probably the most common, definitely the most annoying, and that is materials not being available or not fitting into the client's lead time. So things like handmade paper doesn't always fit into the client's lead time. Things like key color going out of business, or just the entire year of 2021 where every freaking paper was out of stock.
Yeah. Nightmares.
So in this scenario, you're working with a client. They've likely already paid you some money. You've showed them something or they've requested it specifically. But when it comes time to submit the order, the material is out of stock. This happens a lot with like envelope colors or even stamps. Like USPS has been discontinuing our cute stamps. So that's been a big issue. And if there's one thing we know about clients is they hold concepts and ideas with like a fucking death grip.
Like, well, and it's like they always pick the one thing that like happens to be out of stock or ridiculous, or like you only have like 20 sheets of it and you need 40. Like it's always, it's inevitable. Like it always works that way.
Yeah. And it is like the hill they will die on is needing that item, which is so funny to me, but to each their own. So the first step in all of these categories is to take a deep breath and remind yourself it's going to be okay. Because it really is. It's going to be okay. You're going to figure it out. Even if the client fires you, it's still actually okay. Like, it will be okay. All right. So you took your deep breath. Maybe you've gone for a walk. Step two is to just quickly check with some other vendors. That's usually what I do right off the bat. If like I know my go-to vendor doesn't have it, I have a small list of other ones, or I will hop into a Facebook group and just be like, hey, does anyone know where I could get XYZ? I will say that I recommend calling these vendors and not relying on email, because email is going to add additional time to lapse and you are on a time crunch. Because if the product truly is unavailable everywhere, you need to get this info to your client ASAP so that a resolution can be found and it doesn't seem like you snoozed on it. So like if they knew that you were supposed to be placing the orders on Monday, you don't want to be letting them know on Friday that the paper they wanted is out of stock. You want to get as close to when you found out that they find out. But it's totally worth like looking other places, seeing if you could get it. Thing that sucks about this process and why I find it to be the most annoying is I will end up spending hours and hours and hours trying to look for that other vendor or other option or other, XYZ. So it is a really annoying thing to happen. But step three is to see what other alternates can be suggested. So same thing here, get on the phone, call people to check on the inventory. You do not want to suggest something that is also not available. And it's really important that when you reach out to your client, you already have a solution in your back pocket, because you don't want to just leave them in this void of panic. You don't want to just send an email like, oh, hey, so your envelopes are actually out of stock. I'm doing what I can to find a replacement. That sounds great, except for the fact that now your client's just kind of like, oh my God, what's going to happen? But if you're like, I'm checking with other vendors and also here are some other options, then you're already priming them to consider the fact that they may need to choose another option.
Yeah. And I think that like, you could, depending on, what you're offering, if you're offering something like key color that is possibly going to be out of stock or something that you've seen, has been out of stock recently, maybe it's a good opportunity, when you're in that proofing stage with the client to kind of, again, getting ahead of the issue, maybe offer mm-hmm. them, I like this color or this as an alternative, kind of put that seed in their head. So then all of a sudden you're like, hey, so that first one you chose wasn't available, but option B and C are, then you're kind of, if it's something that you're kind of anticipating, which is obviously not always going to happen, but if it is something that you're familiar with the situation and kind of know that this happens from time to time or it's been discontinued, then, get ahead of that if you can in the proofing stage and kind of plant the seeds in your client's head to get ready for another option. Then they'll way more receptive and understanding of it later. Obviously, not always possible, but in a perfect situation.
Well, I will say this, that I've seen so many posts in our stationery community groups where the clients just will not accept any single alternative to what they originally chose. And to that I say, we all have a choice of who we want to be in this world, and those people are choosing to be assholes. Like, they are just choosing to be big fucking assholes.
Yeah.
But honestly, because here's the thing. Every problem has a solution. It either means more time, more money, or a change in vision. I am sure that if you go through that Facebook group, every single problem that arises could be resolved if there was a little more time. The problem is you're usually backed up against when they need their RSVPs by. So they can either contact their venue and say, hey, we're going to be a week late on our RSVPs, or they could try to dump more money into it to see if maybe they could get the exact thing they want overnight or whatever. Or they just simply change the vision slightly and, you know, then all problems are solved. But yeah. Some people just will not bend, and that drives me bananas. And I just want to say to anyone listening who's been in that situation or who may be in that situation in the future, that shit is not on you. Like, it is not on you. You do not owe these people anything. It is not your fault that certain products are out of stock at the time that you purchased. It is not your fault that their RSVP date is what it is and they're going into production at the time that they're going in. Don't let them drag you down and make you feel inferior just because they are refusing to accept the solution.
Yeah. If, like, someone ever said to me, like, well, you better find this out of stock thing, then I'd be like,
okay.
Yeah. Bye. That's how life works. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I know. I just think about how, like, I understand weddings are so important. They're once in a lifetime. They're very expensive. All this stuff, XYZ. So if your goal is you want to send invitations out by this day, you need to be willing to do whatever it takes to send them out by that day.
Yeah.
If your first priority is that they are green, then you need to contact your venue and let them know you won't have your replies by, because you want them to be green.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's, like, this level of just, like, being a human, and also, like, this is a good place to stand your ground. You know, if you said, oh, I know you really like this color, this line has been discontinued, if I can get that, I'll get it, but here's option B or C to consider as a backup. And they're like, oh, yeah. But then later, when it's out of stock and they're trying to be a brat about it, it's like, you know, you gave them kind of the option and you told them what was going to happen. Or, you know, maybe they just really want this particular font, but you don't like how it looks with your design. Like, pick your battles and, you know, do what you can to mitigate these things. But sometimes, you know, like, if they're willing to wait for that paper that's out of stock and fuck up their reply by date and make everything kind of shift on timeline, you know, if that works with your production schedule, then, like, let them, you know, like, let them do their craziness things. And, like, you can only offer advice and options. And if they choose to do things one way, then they choose to do things one way.
So. Exactly. Yeah. And that's totally it. It's like, as long as a solution's picked, then that's all that matters. Yeah. Okay. So in this whole scenario of things being out of stock, when delivering the bad news, I always think that your first point of communication with a client should always explain the situation briefly, unemotionally, matter-of-factly. It should offer a solution, and then it should also include all of the details needed regarding that solution. So whether there's money that they would owe, a cost to them, or the lead time, all of that stuff should be in that initial email, at least for one option, so that something in action can actually be taken from just that one email. What you want to avoid is going back and forth and getting yourself into a bigger delay of, like, waiting for more emails. And I do agree with Mariah that in these sticky situations, paper trails are much better than phone calls, even though phone calls can be more direct. But you want all this stuff in writing. If you do get on the phone, always follow up with an email that summarizes everything that was discussed in your phone call.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to have like all those details, right? So when it comes to money, I personally would not offer any kind of refund or discount if lead time is impacted or anything like that in this scenario, because I do not control the supply chain. And even if I checked that paper stock before, there's no guarantee it's going to be available the day that I go to order. So that's not really on me. It is on the customer to decide whether they want to switch to a different paper stock or if they want to wait it out. But those things should not financially become my burden because it was never my responsibility.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, inventory. There, I think, are very few exceptions where I think that something being out of stock would be your fault. And that is literally like if you ordered it months after you should have or something like that. I mean, right. I can barely imagine a scenario where something being out of stock should be financially your responsibility. I think that, like, you know, it really just depends on how you present these options to your client. If you give them, you know, option A is pay more so I can get it from this other place. Option B is pick a different one that's available now for the same price. Option C is wait for the other one to be in stock. We don't know when that will be 90% of the time. But like, mm-hmm. if you give them clear cut options, you give them the, you know, action and consequence of whatever those choices are, and they pick one, then they pick one, you know? And I mean, that's it. You have to also, I think, like, as you're saying in your email, you know, give them these choices, lay out the details, also make it very clear. You're offering A or B. You're yes. not offering them. Yeah. What do you want to do? Give them option A, option B.
Or and would you visually like to talk about make it else? Clear in your email.
Yeah. You know,
either bullet point them or use the actual words like option one would be, and then dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. I actually, I had this mentor who sent these email templates for, it was actually for sales pitches. So basically trying to get people to book with you. And like her advice in so many of these different templates was like, you want the client to be able to reply with an immediate action. So you need to be clear about what those actions are and try to only give them at maximum three options. So basically they could even just reply A, B, or C. Like if they wrote one letter A, B, or C as a reply, you would know what to do without reaching out to them for any yeah. further communication.
And you can also tell them what you would recommend.
Like, yes.
Hey,
yeah. You are the professional.
Yeah. I recommend we do option A, but option B would be to XYZ. Like yes. give them your recommendation, a couple of options to choose from, but not too many, and make those options very clear, very distinct, very easy to identify and choose from. If they want something completely out of those options, they're going to tell you that. They're going to say, well, what if we did a combination of A and B? Like that is an option they can choose if they want to, if they want to go beyond. But making life simpler for yourself and just giving them a clear path to take will be way more effective.
Agreed. All right. So type two of like the bad news categories would be something like a proof was approved with an error on it. So this is kind of one of those things where it can seem really straightforward, even in the moment, feel like an absolute shitstorm. But there's a lot of differing opinions on this, especially depending on what the error was on the proof. So, you know, if it's the spelling of a name or something that like you just wouldn't know, or it's the wrong wedding date, like it's literally stuff that you can't know because you're not your client. You're not the one planning their wedding. 100% on them. But if it was something really, you know, more grammatical or the misspelling of a common word, some people could be like, well, you are the professional and you should be double checking those. And they could argue that the blame is split equally, even though once the client signs off on the proof, legally they're responsible. So yes, technically they are legally liable for it, but you know, here's the thing. It goes back to avoid pointing blame. The problem is there's an error on the invitation. You know that if you send it out right now, people are going to be dissatisfied. People are going to point it out. They're probably going to call the bride because for some reason those assholes exist in the world. Who gets an invitation and immediately calls the bride and is like, did you know that there's supposed to be a comma between this and that?
I can't stand those people. I can't. Like when I hear brides getting that feedback from guests, like, are you kidding me? Like if somebody invited to my wedding and they were like, I don't know if anyone told you this, but Wednesday was spelled wrong on your invitation. I'd be like, oh, weird. Oh,
I would literally punch that person in the face. Anyway, because
no automatically counted.
Yeah. Because we know those turds exist. If you see something, you have to say something. So you don't want to wait. You don't want to hope that your client doesn't notice it. You don't want to hope that any of their guests don't notice it. If you see it, you have to mention it.
The last thing you want is Aunt Susan being the one to call out this mistake and Brad and you and everyone else didn't even notice it and it went out the door. Like the last thing you want is Aunt Susan or Aunt Karen calling the mother of the bride and it blowing up into this giant thing because Wednesday was spelled wrong.
Yeah. So take a deep breath and remind yourself it's going to be okay because it is. So the first thing you'll want to do is check lead times with your vendors to see how quickly a reprint can be made. This is sometimes really painful if you've used specialty printing services, like maybe it was digital and foil and letterpress, and that's 100% always the job that's going to get fucked up because that's something just the nature of the universe. Yeah. So make sure that you have all your ducks in a row before you do anything. Figure out what the lead time is, what the cost will be. Get on the phone with people. Do not just submit an inquiry for an estimate over someone's website and hope they will get back to you. You are on a freaking time crunch. So get on the phone, do that. It might have to be the next day because if you're like me, you're probably assembling things at midnight because it's just when it gets done. Then your next step is to email the client with a very matter of fact and brief explanation of the situation, again, with a solution, timeline, and cost. So I've just written out a really quick sample here. Hey, Susie. Isn't it funny that we both picked Susie?
Yeah.
Hey, Susie, I am currently assembling your invitation and I realized while doing so that Wednesday is misspelled. Unfortunately, it was misspelled on the proof that was approved. I want to make sure that your guests receive a perfect invitation. I can place an order immediately for a reprint, have it rushed and overnighted. I'm happy to cover the cost of the rush and shipping. The new prints will cost blank. Your invites will then go out on blank. Would you like me to move forward? Thanks, Jillian.
Clear yes or no is all that's needed. They can ask any questions they might have about that, but you've laid out when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, what you're doing to make up for it, especially if it's like arguably your fault, something like Wednesday, right? It makes it really clear and obvious, like exactly what the consequences will be for them, for you, for their timeline. Like super
exactly.
Clear. Nailed it.
And here's the thing. If you just email them that like, oh my gosh, I just noticed that Wednesday's misspelled, and like you don't give them those options, then they're, or worse, you send it to them and they realize it, then they're going to come back to you with probably their set of demands. We would like this reprinted and we would like it to be free, or we would like a discount on our day of items, or whatever ridiculous request that people always love to make. So you want to get ahead of it and you want to let them know, like, this is already what I'm willing to do. And if you notice, I did mention that the proof was approved with the error, but I didn't rub it in. I didn't use the word you when saying you approve the proof. I just had to mention it because then they could come back and say like, well, it wasn't spelled on the proof, and now you have to go back and provide evidence that it was, and that's an awkward, sticky situation. So being brief but accurate, like giving all the facts, laying them out, giving them a solution, and letting them know what it'll cost them and how it's going to impact their project is literally everything that they could possibly need to make a decision. And from there, it is on them to either handle it appropriately or spiral out of control. which, like, in the wedding industry,
option B or option A.
In the wedding industry, they tend to spiral, but I mean, you did your job. You did what you could do.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next one, these are like slowly getting stickier and stickier. Like up until now, it's kind of like, not my fault, but here's what we could do. But like now we're kind of getting into stuff where it could have been your fault. So like an error in production. And this could be looked at from two sides. So someone who is actually making the product, like us, letterpress printers, or someone who's receiving it for a client. And we'll kind of talk about both. But from the perspective of the person who's making the product, like us, letterpress printers, hi. Quick examples of this would be like a client sent artwork to print and you put it on your press. You get the plate, you put it on your press, and you realize like the text is way too small, or maybe the line weight's too thin so your foil's not picking up, or the choice of ink color actually doesn't have enough contrast to the paper they chose, or fuck, maybe you just accidentally printed an entire job on pearl white and it's supposed to be fluorescent white. Like these are all mistakes that can either happen through production of the plates, or management of the artwork of the plates, or you cutting down paper. Or the other day, I fucking cut off a border on like 75 prints, and I just had the top one facing the wrong way, and I cut off the border. Had to reprint them. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Obviously, yeah. Not gonna send them. But the whole thing is that no matter where you're at in the process of the project, whether it's from the moment you've received the artwork or you're literally packaging it up, if you notice anything off, I feel like you should say something before you put it into the mail and let your clients get it. What do you think
about
that?
I agree. I mean, so we'll get into kind of the other side of that coin, you know, as someone who receives a project for a client, but no matter what, there's quality control checks at every stage, right? And like the hope is that at each one you catch something, right? Like you don't do quality checks hoping not to catch anything. You do quality checks hoping to catch something if there is something, you know? And I think that like it's much simpler to, the moment you notice it, reach out with questions, photos, information, than it is to have to redo it all again later. So, I mean, imagine like if you don't ask, if you just send it on to that person and then they get it. And then now you've not only wasted all of these things, this materials, this time, this money on shipping, whatever, but now you're more liable. Whereas if you cut off those 70 of whatever your total quantity is, you still have those other ones. So you only have to fix some of them. You know what I'm saying? So I think the earlier you catch it and address it, the better it's going to be for everyone. And it's going to make you look good because you're being honest and open and admitting that like, hey, I fucked up. Like, here's what I can do about it. Here's what we should do about it. Here's, you know, what I need from you in order to do those things. Like that's the best option.
And I used to think that, I was going really above and beyond by doing that for my clients, and that like bigger printers wouldn't necessarily do that. But actually, I got a call from Printswell the other day letting me know that while my prints were in their QC department, they noticed that there was a black border around these all white cards that they just didn't feel like was supposed to be there. So like that was an instinctive intuition thing for them. They were like, it's kind of weird that these all white cards have this like black line around all the sides. And I just didn't realize that I didn't pull my bounding box off and when I PDF that file. So they were kind enough to call me before shipping it out. And of course, let me know that, actually they didn't call me. They sent me an email because like us, they want everything in paper trail. But they sent me an email and it was really brief. It like let me know about the issue. It had a photo and it gave me their solutions. So they could run a reprint for me, but it would obviously cost me the same amount, you know, because they respect their time and their materials. And it was clearly my mistake. I submitted a file that had a black border on it. So, but I had the opportunity to be like, you know what? I have a large paper cutter here. Send them to me anyway. I'll just cut the edges off.
Yeah.
You know, perfect. But that was so great of them to notice that that just seemed wrong and to inform me. Yeah. And so I love to do that for my clients. Like, I think the worst thing you could do is say, fuck it, send it without consulting the client. If it is something that you know just seems really wrong. Like, we fuck it, send it to a lot of things in our day-to-day business, you and I. But it's never, ever, like, critical to the end result of the product. It is, like, always something else.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, like, kind of jumping into the next one a little bit with this transition point, but Princewell did an amazing thing by calling you and checking in on that. And we have done that for people too, where, you know, we see that a word is misspelled, or when the plates got made, this artwork didn't print great when we were starting, you know, things off. Like, we have definitely done that, but you can't always, as someone receiving a product for a client, expect that to be caught. And like, you have to have quality checks at every stage of this process.
And it definitely does suck. Here's the thing, like, especially because luckily our audience is largely in the production portion of, you know, doing letterpress stuff. We have the great privilege of making our clients' lives a little bit better by doing that due diligence, because I know I personally have been on the receiving end of getting stuff from a vendor that, had it been my shop, I would have never sent them out. And it was just, the whole situation was so disappointing, from like knowing that they, that the material was wasted, because it was like very precious material. So to know that the material was wasted and the time was lost, and I also wouldn't have a solution for my client, and I had to foot the entire bill because there was no like
resolution
from the vendor offered. The whole thing sucked so much. And like, yes, it all resolved. I figured it out. I found a way. So this goes back to, it's all going to be okay. It really is all going to be okay. But having that experience has 100% changed who I am as a vendor for other people. Like, if I start to print something and I notice, hey, you picked this beautiful Pantone, but my husband can't read it when I print it, so I'm going to assume that like your great aunt Sally isn't going to be able to read it. Like, yeah. I just want you to know that.
Just the other day, I was printing for another designer, and, you know, her mock-up versus what I knew this was going to look like on the press. I, you know, she wanted a white ink on this like sage green paper. And I was like, yeah, this mock-up is beautiful, but it's super opaque. Like, that level of opaqueness in her mock-up, I know immediately that it's not going to be that way on press. So what did I do? I immediately set up the press with exactly what she ordered. And I took one print, literally one piece of that paper, and I took a photo of it in sunlight with the same ink and the same plate, like same registration, printed on a regular white piece of cardstock. Like, so I gave her like, here's what it looks like in real life, and here's like what the ink color is, so she knows that I'm printing like the right thing, right? Like, and I just sent it to her and I said, what do you think? You know, like, here's how it looks. Is that what you like? Do you want me to move forward? And she said, yep, great. Her client approved it. She approved it. I printed them all. They looked amazing, but they did not look like her mock-ups, you know? So like, I just navigating that, like, I know this isn't going to be what they think it is, or I know that this line weight is too thin. Like, trying to get ahead of those is great. And, you know, always just check with people if you can.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll work out for everybody.
Yeah. And your story is exactly the steps that I had listed under this thing. So step one, always take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. And step two is email the client with a photo. Let them know what's going wrong, what needs to be done to fix it, if it's something that actually needs to be fixed, and include a timeline and a cost for the fix. Like, in my example, had the vendor let me know that I needed to adjust my artwork and it was going to take like maybe another week to get that, you know, dye in, I would have done it. I would have done anything to avoid where I ended up.
So much money too.
Yes. Yeah. So, okay. All right, now let's say that you're the designer, you received goods, they're not as expected. It's the same thing. Email the client, let them know what happened and what's being done to fix it. Usually you'll want to talk to your vendor first. Sometimes the vendors will do reprints at no charge, especially if it's something they messed up. So I think we were kind of talking about this a little bit before, but like if you get prints and you notice that there's like a dot or a streak or like something running across the page, or it's foil and it's not like fully covered. If you talk to your vendors, like a lot of them will replace it at no charge because the issue was on their end with quality control. But unfortunately, all vendors are not so gracious. So you need to decide, since this really isn't your client's fault, you need to like really check in with yourself and see like, does it feel right to even ask them for any money? For me, it wouldn't. Like, I know it would be a loss to my project, but the fact of the matter is that they didn't pick this vendor to work with. They didn't choose for this vendor to make the mistake. Literally, they are not involved in this whatsoever. So to go to them with like a rush fee or anything at all just feels disingenuous to me.
Yeah.
But every situation is unique. So if for some reason it feels fine to you to pass that along, then
I think for me, the one thing that I would think is fair to ask of the client is maybe a little more patience, more flexibility in their timeline, you know?
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, your quality control and the fact that you're going above and beyond to make things perfect for them and make things right, you know, hopefully is a fair trade for them willing to say a couple extra days or a week or whatever it is on their timeline. You know, obviously they're, like you said, every situation's unique. There are exceptions to every possible rule, but you know, that is something that I think is a fair trade. Like, I'm going above and beyond and trying to make sure everything's perfect. If you can give me just a little more time, it will be done right. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a fair trade and most people are willing to do that. But yeah,
I totally agree. I think the patience is a huge thing. Especially if they could give you like an extra week or something, because sometimes what's the biggest cost of doing a fix is freaking rushing it.
Yeah,
overnight shipping materials to a vendor, because like I said, it's always the complex shit that gets messed up. So it's like the handmade paper,
Yeah,
yeah, that came from here
in a custom color, like.
Yeah, 100%. So
the vendor has now run out of that foil color and
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But again, and here's the other thing. Sometimes out of these shit storms comes something even better than what you had before.
Yeah.
There is an opportunity that your solution can actually be even better than what was originally done. And if you could look for those opportunities, maybe to appease your client a little bit, not saying that you have to, but if you can look for those opportunities, do it. Like, let that be the thing that, you know, sort of rectifies the situation versus giving them a discount on their day of items, which I always hate when that has to happen. I see other stationers do it. I personally haven't had to do it, but like, it sucks because that's a totally different thing. And that is still your time, and your time is valuable. And you may not have been at fault here. So like, you are getting doubly punished because you're emotionally distraught and now you're not getting paid. So anyway, that's that. Just a reminder, even though you're the business owner, some things that are out of your control, all you could do is manage the solution. So do not let an unsettled client bully you into feeling like the situation is so much bigger than it is. It feels very big to them. If this is a wedding project, it's their once in a lifetime event. So it feels very big to them. But the reality of the situation is that whatever is going wrong is a molehill, not a mountain. And mistakes are made. Everyone can make a mistake, but how we resolve them is going to say a lot more about who we are than the mistake itself. And it's actually going to be the thing that's remembered more than the mistake itself. So, and mind you, the guests are never going to know there was a mistake. Like, I've never gotten an invitation, looked at the wedding date and been like, oh, wow, this wedding is soon. Wonder what happened to this invitation.
Yeah, no, that's like, again, coming back to Aunt Susan, it's like, nobody's going to like question the timeline of this invitation. And no, you could do everything in your power to get things out the door on time. And then it could take 3.5 weeks in the mail. Like, it is what it is. Everything is figure outable. There is a solution. a resolution for everything. It just takes, you know, two people willing to come to an agreement, and you'll figure it out. Everything is figureable. Yeah,
100%. Okay, so this is going to be our last one. And of course, there's so much other types of bad news that can be delivered and ways to resolve it. Although I do think the themes are going to be very current throughout most of them. But so bad news type four is the breakup. So if your client relationship is extremely toxic and you feel like you need to cut ties completely, just know right now that you have every right to do so. Depending on your contract, you might not even have to fully reimburse them, though you may choose to, because sometimes losing a little money is better than losing a lot of sleep. And people may go back and forth with you endlessly about money. So sometimes if you know the person well enough, not like personally know them, but like know their personality type, it might just be easier to like issue a refund and like dust your hands off and say goodbye. In my current career as a printer, I haven't had to fire a client, but in my past career, I 100% was in a situation where if I were the boss of the firm, I would have fired the client that we had. They were so toxic to all of the employees who worked with them from our firm. And I literally was having like panic attacks because of them. So if I was ever in a situation like that in this job, 100% I would take these steps. So this is novice advice. Take it with a grain of salt. Here is how I would handle this situation. I would not, absolutely not, use specific examples of the client's behavior in my communication to them. This communication I am sending to them is a termination of a contract. It is not a burn book in high school. There is no reason to like air out dirty laundry unless they specifically drill you for why you're breaking up this relationship. But I think in the example I give, you'll see why they probably won't do that. But okay, so I would not do that. But I would likely use some bullshit PC corporate excuse for terminating instead of like the actual reason. This is the one kind of area where I think a little white lie is kind of better than being honest, because writing an email that says you're a really shitty human to deal with, so I no longer want to work with you, it's just
you're
never going to be
appropriate. I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. It's just never going to be appropriate. So, and thankfully, because of my contract, so this goes back to make sure you have a good contract, I'm allowed to terminate for any reason I see fit. So it kind of like allows me to sort of like massage the reason. But here's an example of an email I would send. Good morning, client. Obviously, I would put their name. I'm writing to inform you that this project has now exceeded the scope of my availability. As of today, I will be terminating our current contract. Should you wish to continue this work independently or with another vendor, I can provide you with files for our current progress, with the exception of any licensed items that Studio Soprano holds the right to, which would be like illustrations I have made or fonts I have chosen. Those would have to be purchased, obviously. I didn't say that in the email. That was an aside to you. Alternatively, I can issue a full refund for this project. Please let me know which option you'd prefer. Thank you, Jillian. You could also go with best. I find best to be a little bitchy, but.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, any signature can be taken in the wrong context if they want to. But
yeah.
I fairly recently, this reminds me of a recent project I was working on that the bride brought in an outside person who was her bestie. And her bestie was a real bitch to me and was completely inappropriate. She disregarded my boundaries that I had set, which I'm very clear on as far as how to communicate with me, how to get a hold of me, all of the things that I had set, she completely disregarded. And I ended up accepting a phone call from her, which is not something I was willing, able, or told her I was available for. She continued to call me regardless. And it all led up to like her being super rude to me, me staying firm in my boundaries and saying, no, I do not do that. I will not do that. And I went to the bride. I sent her an separate email where her friend did not see it. And I said to her, if you want to work with this person, you're welcome to do that. I can offer you A, B, and C. I was very clear on like where I stand, what I expect from her, what I will not be putting up with. And she was like, no, I'm so sorry. Like, that was a miscommunication on her side, like blah, blah, blah. Eventually, like all things said and done, once this project was done, she loved her invitations. She was super happy with me. She apologized for her friend and her behavior. And like, I could have just fired this client and I could have left her out in the lurch to figure out her wedding invitations, you know, 3 weeks before they needed to go out the door. I could have done that. And that was completely within my rights. But I also gave her the option to stay working with me. And I told her what I expected of her in order to stay working with me. I told her what I would not be allowing if she wanted to continue working with me. So I gave her kind of like a warning, right? Like, if you feel it's appropriate to just cut ties with a client and call it a day, you know, you're within your rights to do that as per your contract. If you feel like refunding them to not deal with them any further, that's an option if you want it. If you feel like, hey, I deserve every penny they've paid me because they've been a real pain in the ass, that's within your rights too. Like you need to set the tone with your contract. You need to lay down those boundaries. And sometimes all it takes is just rehashing those boundaries. Like with this client I had, all it took was a little bit of confrontation where I said, this is not okay. Here's what I need from you in the future. Otherwise, you're welcome to go do your own thing and figure it out yourself. Like,
yeah.
And then she was great from that point on, and there was no further issue, you know? So it's like there, you can do whatever you need to do to protect your own mental health and well-being, and make sure your contract covers all of those possibilities and gives you the power in that situation. So, you know, handle it however you see fit, and every client will be different. I had a good relationship with this client up to that point. So I knew that it was kind of like, not really her that was the issue. And that won't be the case every time, but sometimes it's just like re-outlining what you expect and what you need and where like your boundaries lie, and they might, you know, figure it out and get the hint. And also sometimes they might realize that like, oh shit, if they fire me as the client, I'll be so screwed and have to figure this all out, and I don't need that stress. Like, I'd rather just play nicely, you know? So I think that's going to be the case in some scenarios.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice, because reestablishing your boundaries. I mean, so many people say that there's no such thing as there's no such thing as a bad client. Like, you create your bad clients. And I would say that that could be almost always true, but some people just don't understand boundaries. They don't know how to respect boundaries. And honestly, some people are just fucking arrogant. Like, those people exist in the world.
Yeah.
But in general, if you are having a tough time with a particular client, it could very well be that they are just not aware of how much they're crossing certain boundaries or how difficult they're making this process. And so even though it is uncomfortable to highlight and reiterate and remind them of your boundaries, it is important, and it could actually completely turn around the relationship, and it could get you across the finish line, if not like in the most fun way possible. It could at least get you across the finish line. You know what I mean? Not to say that you're going to send an email and the client's like, your client was really great. She turned right around. She kind of put her friend in her place. The project got done.
I never heard from that friend like again.
100% a success story.
Yeah.
But, you know, you might have some that are, especially if they're more of like a business than like an individual person, that they just have too much corporate toxicity to actually change their ways.
I just think that like, as an optimistic person, I like to believe that most people, when they have these types of issues and they keep being the like client red flag that they are, I think a lot of it comes down to communicating, whether that's communicating your expectations of them or your boundaries or how you prefer to communicate. Like, if they're sending you an Instagram DM followed by a text followed by an email about the same thing, maybe just rehashing like, hey, I don't have my notifications on Instagram on. I will not see your DM until days later, possibly, whether you do or not. Like, whether like you just need to, I think a lot of times communication is just needed.
Yeah.
And obviously clients will go above and beyond what is acceptable. And then that breakup, you know, just needs to happen. But I think that there's a lot of places where you can salvage a relationship or a project by overly communicating, you know, what you're feeling and in a non-emotional way of, here is how I prefer to communicate. Here's why I like that. Like, I like to keep everything in one email chain so that I know that all the information is right there. That way it keeps both of us on track. Make sure that I understand you best. Like, make them understand why you need to get the email communications versus text and DM and all of those other things. Like, give them a valid reason for why those boundaries exist. And then if they don't respect them, they just won't respect them. You know, yeah. And then you can consider your breakup options.
I agree. That is definitely the one thing that you can apply to pretty much any part of business. It's just, if the communication is clear, if the expectations are clear, like, you're going to be fine. People may be disappointed. Things may have to change, but it's going to be fine.
Take that deep breath.
Yeah, take that. Let's all just take a deep breath right now. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Okay, that was great. A little sidebar on this, actually, but if you really enjoyed this episode and this kind of business education discussion, may I recommend that you join Stationery School? Earlier this week, Lainey from Design by Lainey sent out one of her Monday motivation emails, which you only get as a member of Stationery School. And the entire email was on this very topic. And Mariah and I both squealed, and then I messaged her immediately. I did not read the email because I know Lainey probably said a bajillion brilliant things in it. And I don't want to give away her brilliance, in our episode, but I do highly recommend that, you know, if this is something that you're really interested in learning more about, and you also want to learn really cool things like how to structure a venue, a map or invitations, or how to do a venue, or I did a whole class on letterpress. Okay. Yeah. You could join for a month. You could join for a year. We will leave the link to Stationery School in the description of this.
She also has some really great, she also has some really great classes in Stationery School on dealing with clients and having a contract and sending out proofs for approval and that kind of thing as well. So a lot of the things we cover and where some of these issues arise, she actually covers a lot of that in Stationery School as well. So Jillian and I are both in Stationery School and we both love it. I actually watch her videos like once a week. I set down some time to just plug away at a couple of them and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. I need to get back on watching them more regularly, but whenever I watch them, I'm like, oh man, this was good. This was really good. And yeah. I love the emails. I always tell her the emails alone are worth being in this.
They are one of the few newsletters that I receive often that I actually read every word of. Like,
yes,
I literally read every single email she sends because she always has such great advice, but also it's always a great relative topic. I think she must pull them from Facebook group threads because her ideas for those emails, because they're always super relevant to what's happening in, you know, other stationery world or in my own business and stuff too. So, 10 out of 10, A+ for Stationery School.
A+. Yay. Well, that was fun, even though not a super fun topic, but
absolutely necessary nonetheless. And, you know, hopefully now anyone out there who has to deal with any of these scenarios or other, you know, client issues feels a little better equipped to handle them. And hopefully it all ends up working out.
Yeah. We wish you all the best in any sticky situation you may find yourself in.
Awesome.
All right. Come follow us on Instagram, Hot Off the Press Pod. You can also send us an email if you would like to hear us talk about another business topic or a letterpress topic. You can submit your suggestions to hello@hotoffthepresspodcast.com. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.